Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 13 of the genericgamingpodcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric, middle name Krause.
Eric, how are you doing? Is that because you don't know my middle name?
Yeah, I have no. I feel like actually at one point I did ask
Yeah, you have. Before.
And you did tell me, and I still don't know it. What is it? Do you want to do
William?
William.
I don't give a shit.
Eric Willie Krause.
Mediocre middle name, so.
Yeah.
Saying 13 with a lot of heft today. See,
yeah, no, I'm excited. It's going to be a goodie.
Yeah.
Before the show, I really, really want to encourage people to get involved. So you should go rate us on iTunes. Tell us what game you want us to talk about. Ask us some questions, because if we get some, we'll do a whole segment about it. You'll be on the show. Eric Krause will speak your name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go.
And listen, Eric has children to feed. He's got six beautiful kids with mouths to feed, except for his oldest daughter, who's just a rock with a face painted on her.
What?
Esmeralda.
Where is this coming from? First of all, I don't have children.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you have kids.
I'm pretty sure I don't. If I do, I've been missing out.
Anyways, Eric's got kids to feed. I've got stuff to buy.
Mostly just have stuff to buy.
We're running out of games to talk about because we need money to buy more.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So if you want to keep the show running, help us out. Write us on iTunes. Get involved. Add us on Twitter. Whatever you want to do. So Eric, we're going to talk about BioShock today. One of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
Before that, we're doing a Hot Topic, sponsored someday in the near future by Hot Topic. So. The hot topic today is digital games versus physical games. And I obviously know where the trend is, but I'm really holding on to that last sliver of, like, just picking a game off the shelf, putting it in my PS4, playing through it, going back to GameStop, trading it in to get a new one.
Yeah, so I'm definitely erring towards the side of the future where everyone should be with digital games, because digital games are the future, and why ever leave your house when you could just have literally everything ordered to you or just downloaded? But, like, half the world actually still uses physical games because half the world still has shitty internet.
So, okay, yeah, that's fair.
So they have to get physical games, otherwise when games come out like Fallout 76 and it's like 96 gigabytes and then had another like 96 gigabyte update like an hour later, you can't really work with that.
I'm still having this problem with the physical discs though.
Right, yeah, because you still have to get the updates and get the fucking
And you have to download
updates.
The disc. Mm-hmm. And so in Menominee, it's not a problem. I pay for prime time internet. I'm getting the good speeds. Everyone in my house can watch porn at the same time.
Yeah.
But at home, back in Nasita, we have the worst internet I've ever experienced.
Yeah, in rural fucking Wisconsin.
In rural Wisconsin, we get like maybe tops 3 megs per second.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I remember trying to download like one of the Battlefield games and it actually taking all day. I think I just left and I was like, well, I'm going to go do something else and like hung out with some friends or something and came back and was like, oh, cool, I still have 2 hours left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend Jacob, who we've mentioned on the show before, he lives back home in Genoa City. We're not bumfuck Wisconsin like you are in Nasita, but like for some reason he's more in town and I'm like right on the border to Wisconsin and Illinois. And I have really good internet. Well, not really good, it's worse than I have here obviously, but it's good internet. I can still download games and get them done in like a few hours, but he has just terrible internet. Like his games will take days to download if he downloads
and
shit. And so, like, I'm always waiting on him because his internet's so shitty. But he's moving to Chicago and going to have, like, God-tier internet.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I bet they got good speeds there.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that is kind of, I don't know if it's talked about a lot, but as far as I know, digital sales really help out developers a lot more because they don't have to, they're not producing the discs. You know what I mean? They're not paying for the manufacturing cost of distribution. They're not cutting it with the stores, like Walmart and stuff. Well, obviously, they're cutting with, like, PlayStation and stuff like that. But it's kind of taken less hands out of the it's taken hands out of the bowl that is their money pot.
Yeah, as soon as like console developers figure out how to get consoles to people without using store manufacturers and stuff, you're never gonna see a game on a shelf again.
And I get it. It's great for a lot of reasons. But listen, it's the same thing when we talked about this Apple Music thing. You are all rich bitches. I need to trade those games in. I need to beat them. And I need to trade them back in so I can get the next game for cheaper.
I mean, you could just save money better. I think it's your old problems with your own finances.
Yeah, that is true. I sold a guitar today for $40, so that's cool.
Yeah, you probably could have sold that for more.
Yeah, probably. But then I wouldn't have gotten it. So I wouldn't have gotten. I wanted to sell it before Smash, which is definitely dating when this podcast was recorded.
Well, yeah, this we have currently are 2 days away from Smash.
Yes,
and like some amount of hours. And we're so close. I can taste it.
You can taste. I can taste it.
I can feel the GameCube controller under my thumbs being pressed to do nairs and whatever the fuck other terms Adam was throwing out for Smash.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna learn. I thought about a great business venture is to just publish like a Smash dictionary.
Yeah.
Because every time
I was looking for one on Reddit, honestly. So like someone's got to have something about this.
This is what I'm saying is that we make this and then we make money.
Yeah. The only problem is we have to learn all the terms first.
Well, we're gonna just kind of ask Adam a lot of questions and then just don't tell him what we're doing.
Yeah, but I feel like Adam's gonna be wrong a lot. He's gonna like have made up definitions for things or what he thinks they mean as opposed to what they're actually used in as the community.
Every time I see this guy, he's coming out with a new slang term.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Smash Mashes and like there's obviously shoutcasting during them and it's like they say a lot of things, and I'm like, what are you saying? Because I'm literally watching the match and like, oh, he just did like a forward air, canceled air, flip backwards and shit. I'm like, what? Punched him.
That looked a lot like a side B to me.
Yeah, exactly. Although I was watching the 2016 Evo Championship match yesterday, and good God, some of these people, what they could do in this game is just fucking crazy.
Yeah, it sounds... Adam was explaining to me that like, especially with, like, Melee, Smash is fun because it's apparently just broken. Like, I don't know, people are, like, doing things that shouldn't be possible.
Yeah, right now, if, like, because the game leaked early, and obviously people are playing it by the time this comes out. So, I mean, I'm sure it's still like this. But, like, every character in the game, everyone, like, puts out a video of, like, this character's top tier. For every character, for, like, all 69 characters that are in the game right now. They're all broken.
I saw a tweet that said that there was no characters that were just unplayable.
Yeah. So, it's going to be awesome. Hopefully it's really fun, which I don't see how it couldn't be.
But back to this physical versus digital. I understand it would be very nice for me to not have to go to GameStop and pick up my game or whatever, stand in line with all the other nerds.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like I said, I just like having the disc. I like to collect things, so I like having my little shelf full of like the games that I love. I get to pick it up. I get to like press it against my face.
So before the digital revolution came about, when I had to be a piece of shit like you would buy games physically. I got like this DVD rack so that I could put the physical games in. And so I have just a fuck ton of PS2 and PS3 games on there. And then I have a fuck ton of GameCube games and Wii games, but I just didn't have enough shelf space for those. And so, but the last game I bought was a game. I did buy physical games for the PS4. I bought three physical games. I bought The Witcher 3,
okay,
Infamous Second Son, and The Division. And then I purely switched to digital. The Division was the last physical game I bought.
You didn't get Uncharted 4? Like,
I downloaded it digitally.
Eric, here's the thing. One day, I have The Last of Us Part 2, or the not Part 2. I wish.
I have, what are you holding out on me?
I have The Last of Us Remaster on disc. I have all of my like my favorite games of all time for the PS4 on disc. And one day, I'm going to get Neil Druckmann or someone to just, like, give a little signature.
Eh, I don't really care about getting things signed. It's not really... Like, I look at my signature, and, like, it's just really just scribbles. And I know these people that have to sign things a lot, they don't give a shit about it anymore.
Yeah, but then every time you look at it, you go, ooh, remember that time I met Neil Druckmann?
Yeah, or you could just take a picture and be like, and have it digitally on your phone, and be like, ooh, look at memories.
Oh, Eric. When the world goes to shit, then this is all the stuff's gonna be lost. You know what I mean?
If the world's going to shit, you're not gonna have time to play
I'm
your
saying,
games
the
anyway.
Next the generation that rises up, the Aloys from Horizon Zero Dawn, they're not gonna understand what happened because all this, you know, I mean, everything's gonna be digital. Nothing's gonna be left to look at.
Good. Start over. Do better.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's for the best, huh?
Yeah.
All right. That's enough of that. We are here to talk about BioShock, Irrational Games. 2007, one of the best games ever made. Eric, what do you have to say about it?
Well, what you just said, it's one of the greatest games ever made. It's one of my favorite games ever made, and it changed the way I play video games, like, definitively. Because, like, up until this point, I'm playing, like, co-op games and stuff with my brother, party games and shit like that. We're playing, like, Little Big Planet. So I got a PS3. We're playing, like, Little Big Planet at this point, which is, like, a puzzle platformer creating game. I don't know how you describe it. Media Molecule. Yeah, yeah. It's a really fun game, but
it seems cool. I like little Sackboy.
Yeah, a little Sackboy in there. You go and create shit, and you just jump around. We created this awesome city, but that's a story for another time. And so, at this point, I think my brother had left for college, so I was just like, well, it's hard to play these co-op games by yourself. Party games, not that fun.
Little Eric's like out here with two controllers, like trying
to... Yeah, it's like not that fun. And so I got like... So I started like... All right, this is basically where I went down this whole path of getting really fucking nerdy into video games, is I got Infamous, the first one for PS3, and I'm like, holy shit, video games are so much better like this. Play games by yourself, pretty fun, they can have stories, and you can just fuck around by yourself, like,
and
super fun.
I have a question, just as a small tangent, real quick.
Yeah.
You're a very competitive person. I saw this firsthand last night, we were playing cards. I actually thought that you... might stab me.
Yeah, I wanted to. I also did a side note. On this side note, I did finally see that video about the Wizard of Oz argument with guy pulls a knife. Fucking hilarious.
And so was this like a problem with you and your brother? Did you guys like beat the shit out of each other?
No, we never beat the shit out of each other, but we were extremely competitive against each other. And it's to the point where it made us like really good at things. Like, so in Mario Kart Double Dash, his friend, one of his friends from like high school or something came over and he's like, I'm so good at this game. I play this game all the time. I'm going to kick your guys' ass. And we left him in our dust. Like, it wasn't even a contest because we just go head-to-head so much. And, like, we're so competitive against each other that, like, we just are getting better constantly. And so when people are just, like, they play by themselves or against computers or, I guess, friends, like, normally that don't play, they think they're really good.
Yeah, yeah, you get the idea that you're, like,
you get the idea that you're really good. And then, like... You go up against, like, people that play, like, just competitively against, we don't, like, at top-tier levels, obviously, but, like, just going head-to-head all the time. We're going to get really good. And, like, so right now he's currently winning in our Mario Kart race because in the Mario Kart 8 it keeps track. And so I'm, like, at, like, 268 and he's, like, at 280 races.
That's pretty close. I'd say that's still pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm down, like, by 20, though, and it's super hard to make up races once you get down in Mario Kart 8. It's just super hard because... The game, Mario Kart 8's a lot more luck-based because of the items, and, like, the more items they have, it's, like, less balanced. So you kind of have to get lucky to win. I mean, there's still a lot of skill-based in it. Like, you have to still be a good driver and shit, but it's the items really kind of fuck you in the end.
So back to BioShock. Little Eric's out here trying to play party games by himself. Mm-hmm. It's not working. You get Infamous. You're like, oh, single-player games can be fun. Wow,
yeah,
this is cool.
This
is
awesome. And so Infamous, if you don't know, is an open-world game. It's a third-person shooter, basically, but you, like, shoot lightning out of your hands. Pretty baller. Also one of my favorite games because it's another game that pretty much made me into a huge fucking nerd who plays video games. And then I've been hearing at this point, I don't know, what'd you say BioShock came out?
2007.
2007. So this had to be... I think the PS3 came out in 2009, right?
BioShock was a PS3 game, I thought. It is, yeah.
No, it came out before that, I think.
Give me one second.
All right.
No, the original platforms were... It was Xbox PS3? 360.
Wow, I got this. Okay, so maybe I just got it late then.
I think 360 came out in 2006.
Yeah, the 360 came out before the PS3. So maybe...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It was out. I've been hearing about it for a while, and I'm like, everyone says this is a really good game, but I'm like, I don't really like first-person shooters at this point.
Yeah.
Because I played Infamous, but that's a third-person shooter, and like I played Uncharted 1 and 2, I think, probably at this point. I believe 2 was out. I don't know. My timeline's all mixed up, but I played third-person shooters, and so I'm like, first-person shooters aren't really my thing. All right, everyone, we're back. We had some sound issues. But we're back in black.
I'm glad you're there on the sound engineering board.
I don't know what I was going with that.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. I got to open up my prep sheet. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So you're playing BioShock for the first time. You're not into first-person shooters.
Oh, hold on. I wasn't there yet. Yeah, so I was like, I don't know what why this game is, like, such a big deal, but I'm hearing about it. One, Greg Miller raves about it on Podcast Beyond with one Colin Moriarty. They're, like, talking, like, this game's, like, the end-all be-all. I'm like, it can't be that good. And so I got it, and holy shit was I wrong. This game, like I said earlier, this changes the way I play video games, because up until this point, I'm only playing these open world games, and I'm just kind of going around fucking around. And in this game, it slows you down to a crawl and makes you want to loot every single box you see, every little thing, because it's basically a surviving game where you have very minimal amount of, like, ammo. You have minimal amount of, like, the plasmid stuff, energy. I don't know what it's called. I think it's plasmids, right?
Yep, plasmids.
Yeah, so you have minimal amounts of stuff. You have minimal amount of bullets for guns and shit. And so you have to loot everything so that you're always, like, keeping up on your supply so you can fucking kill these creepy-ass splicers. And so it, like, slowed me down. So now I only play games, like, deliberately slow. I loot fucking everything if it's, like, a game like this. And, like, I also play really stealthy now because of this game.
Interesting. I also have a fun story about how I came to play this game. So this is pre... I would not say I was, like, tapped into games yet. I was playing games a lot, like, with my friends again. We were playing, like, Guitar Hero, shit like that. I feel like this kind of lines up with that era. My friends and I were playing a lot of, like, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty, stuff like that. And so I didn't really give a shit about, like, games as, like, a whole. I still kind of thought they were just made by people and they're put out, whatever, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So I go to the store. And BioShock must have been out for quite a while now, because there was a combo, a wombo combo of Oblivion and BioShock on the 360.
That is a wombo combo.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, this game was like, I don't know, I think it was like $30. And I was like, all right, I bought it. I bring it home, and I think I booted up Oblivion first, because actually I think Oblivion was a game that my friend Adam was like, yo, this game's sweet, you should really play it. I booted that up, and I played, I don't know, like a couple hours, and I was like, this is not for me. I hated that, like, whenever I would swing the sword, it, like, really wouldn't really connect with whatever I was hitting. It would kind of just make their bar, like, tick down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I got to this part with all these demons, and this kind of relates to what I'm talking about. I'm a big baby bitch.
Yeah.
And any sign of, like, anything scary, I'm like, maybe this game's not for me.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I don't know if I can do this.
We want to do a Twitch stream with playing, like, Outlast or something.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a great time, because you'd be there, and I would know that, like, I'm not going to get murdered.
Yeah, we should do Outlast 2, though, just because I haven't beat it yet.
So I'm like, Oblivion's not for me. I try to play BioShock. I'm like, this one looks cool. Look at this big, big daddy guy. He's got this little sister, whatever. I boot that game up. I'm like, okay, this game's actually a little scary.
I mean, the first, like, 5 minutes are terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm like 11, 12. Like, yeah. I'm like, this game is terrifying. And I see the splicers, and I was like, I remember there's a scene in the beginning where you walk up to this lady and she's got a stroller,
mm-hmm.
like with a baby, and there's no baby in there. No. It's just guns.
Yeah.
And she pulls out the guns and she tries to kill you. Yeah. And I think I just paused and said, nope, not today.
I mean, even at the beginning of the game, what's you so the plane crashes, you go up into the lighthouse, and then you go down the elevator going down to Rapture. And like, you get down and like, it's like this beautiful futuristic city. You're like, holy shit, this is super cool. And then you get down and it's just like rotting and destroyed.
Yep.
And you just see like just scurrying about. And then one of them lands on top of the elevator just trying to get in. And then you're like, shit, 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 shit. So, like, just trying to go down the elevator. And then it goes out in the water and like flushes her out or whatever. And just like the beginning is just terrifying. And then you're going about, you have literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You walk up to the
You got like a wrench.
Yeah, you pick up a wrench to like beat the shit out of things with. And you walk up and you find this heroin needle you put in your arm. For no reason, really. Other than video game logic, do you put this into your arm?
Well, at that point, were you in contact with Atlas, where he's like, wasn't he explaining what like plasmids were? He's like, oh yeah, you should probably inject that, just like a little bit.
Oh yeah. So still, video game logic, you're listening to some mysterious dude. I guess he guided you how to get away from the first splicers, but like, still listening to just this random dude over the radio, which, spoilers, he does turn out to be evil, so like...
Yeah. And so yeah, so I was like, fuck this game, not for me. And then, you know, I got more into games, whatever, as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
The BioShock collection comes out on PS4. I'm like, all right. Everyone says BioShock. I give a shit about games, though. Everyone's like, BioShock is the game. It's like, it's a must play. You know what I mean? So I'm like, fine, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in there. I'll stop being a little baby bitch.
Yeah.
And I played through it. I played through one in like 2 or 3 days because I was so hooked. Because, I mean, after their initial push, it's really not scary, I'd say. There's
After a while, you get desensitized to it. And then there's a couple things that bring the horror up, like mid-game. Like, you run into the first Big Daddy, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Those things are crazy.
Yeah. And then there's a couple bosses in there that I remember are really scary. And then, but after a while, you get desensitized to the horror.
Another moment, my friend Adam warned me about this. And so that's why I was like, okay with it. When you first pick up the double barrel shotgun or whatever, I think that's what it was. The lights just go out.
Oh yeah,
and then you like it. You get like a little light on you, and you're just like surrounded by splicers, and you have to like do like a 360 turn and like fucking murder all of them. And it was the most stressful. I think it's like the most stressed I've ever been. I think.
Yeah, I remember one of the scariest moments in the game for me was there's a part where you're going through like this corridor or something, and then there's like a left and a right, and then like you look right, it's just kind of dark, and then you look left, and there's a light, and you see the shadow of a splicer on the wall, like cutting into something. And if you go that way and you turn the corner, like, the lights flash, and then once you get around, she's just gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then
it's
you
like
turn
in a bathroom.
Around, and she's coming up to fucking stab you.
Oh, man.
Just fucking jump scares, man.
So, we should probably just get this out of the way, because it's a big moment in the game. It's the biggest one. The twist. The big twist.
Oh, yeah. Which I already kind of spoiled.
Yeah, you already spoiled. Atlas, this dude's been, he's like Irish or whatever. He's weaving this tale about his family, rescuing his family or whatever.
Yep.
And you're like helping him out. You're like, fine, this guy seems like a cool dude. You're going through all these areas. It turns out Atlas is actually this dude named Fontaine, Frank Fontaine, and he's like this mob boss guy.
Yeah.
Who's just apparently very good at accents.
Yeah, apparently.
He, this whole time, has been, like, controlling your character with this trigger phrase, would you kindly?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, and they kind of play back this whole thing where it's him asking you to do things. Oh, would you kindly fucking blow this guy's head off, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of think it's just, like, a weird mannerism he has.
Yeah.
And then it hits you that, like, the whole time you've been given this facade of player choice.
Yeah.
When in reality, you've just been doing exactly what this fucker told you to do. Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest moments in video games.
Yeah, and I played this game in, like, what, 2016, 2017? Yeah. Never had it spoiled, not once.
Which is incredible, to be honest.
I think I avoided it, because I avoid spoilers like the plague, because I always am like, at some point, I'm probably going to play
also,
this
I don't know how many people were still talking about Bioshock at that point.
That's
the
true.
First one.
Well, it always comes up, like...
Yeah, usually.
You know, you're at the grocery store, you bump into someone, they're like, oh, did you play Bioshock?
Yeah, just a random person shopping, like, oh, you play Bioshock? How about that twist at the end, where you totally programmed your mind?
Yeah, and then I covered my ears and ran away.
You just punch him in the face and run.
Yeah, and then you murder Andrew Ryan. Mm-hmm. So Andrew Ryan is this fellow who, you want to give him a spiel? He's kind of the creator of Rapture.
He's the creator of Rapture, this underwater city, basically. I think that's pretty much what he is.
Yeah, he's Ayn Rand.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he's this guy, and he lived out. He was very rich, and he's like, I'm fucking sick of taxes.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my own city and be underwater.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna make a big city underwater.
Only the rich live.
Yeah, and he's like, you have to pay to be here, and everyone can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Surprise,
that doesn't work out.
No, yeah, and it doesn't work out. The whole thing is no gods, no kings.
Yeah.
Only man.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out man fucking sucks.
Yeah, not good. Not good without gods or kings.
So you end up murdering him, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy, because throughout the whole game, you're like, well, Andrew Ryan's obviously going to be, like, the last boss. The whole kind of thing is you're trying to go get him.
Yeah, because Frank Fontaine is basically weaving that Andrew Ryan's, like, a bad person.
Well, he is.
Well, yeah, he is a bad person, but he's making it so that, like, he's making it so it seems like himself. He's making it seems like he's bad, like Frank Fontaine's bad, whereas he's not that bad.
And this is another thing, is that, like, that happens, like, three-fourths of the way through the game, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a significant chunk of game left
after you
fucking
kill him.
Murder Andrew Ryan with a
also,
golf
just,
club.
Yeah, that scene's great. You just break into his office, and, like, the fight's pretty epic, and then it just ends up you beating him, like, bashing his head in with a golf club. Great moment.
Another big staple of Bioshock, I would say, at least the first game, is the concept of the Big Daddies and the Little Sisters.
Yeah.
And so the Big Daddies are the protectors of they're like these big, I don't know, they're like somehow genetically engineered or something.
Yeah.
Big dudes in like fucking suits, like diver suits basically.
Yeah, with a drill.
With like a drill as a hand. And they're really big and they're really mean and really hard to fight.
Yeah.
And they protect the Little Sisters, who are these small little girls who look kind of scary. Like they got like beady eyes and shit. And they go and they go around collecting Adam, and they like they're genetically engineered so that they produce a lot of Adam.
Yeah, and the Adam like corrupts them, which is why they look creepy.
Yeah, and so Adam is what they're using to make plasmids, which are like the superpowers that everyone just has.
Did you so when you would kill a big daddy and then catch the little sister, would you harvest her or set her free?
I set her free, and this is one of my the game is almost perfect, and so I feel like the gripes I have are so minor they don't matter.
Yeah,
but I felt like the game didn't really give you a good reason to harvest them. They were like, oh, you'd get more Adam, but I
you'd
never
get a
once
ton had... more Adam. Did you ever never harvest them?
I never harvested
them. Oh, you'd get a fuck ton of Adam.
But like, I feel like the with the Adam that I did get, it was fine.
Yeah, I never harvested them either because I felt bad. And so, because what I harvested the first one I did, and it's like a gruesome scene. It really makes you feel bad for harvesting this. And so I set him free after that, but you get a ton of Adam.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't really know a lot about, like, the history of moral choices in games, but for the first time, I felt like, well, not for the first time, but it was one of these moments where I felt like I had, like, a real moral dilemma.
Yeah.
Where I was like, fuck, man, I really want that Adam. Mm-hmm. And these little kids are, like, already pretty fucked up. And, like, if I do set them free, like, are they really going to live good lives?
Well, I think because, and then later in the game, if I remember correctly, when you set enough of them free, they come and help you or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah. After you set enough of them free, they'll start leaving you gifts. Yeah. Little teddy bears full of stuff, Adam and such.
So, yeah, so there's, like, you get, it basically is the same thing in the end, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm
one's
saying.
One's just, like,
I feel
immediate gratification, and the other one's just delayed gratification.
I just feel like I wasn't hindered enough for me to actually care. Like, consider it.
Yeah.
But the Big Daddies, very fun to fight.
They're very difficult to
fight. Really difficult.
And I remember there was this one, before you go and kill Andrew Ryan, when you're in, like, the botanical gardens, I think.
Yep.
And, like, there's a Big Daddy and then just tons of splicers. And, like, I remember this was just the hardest one I had time killing because there's just so many enemies. And then I got to a point where I just wasted all my stuff. And then I kept dying, and it was so hard because I just had nothing. And so I was like, but I kept, for some reason, I kept trying to kill a Big Daddy. And I'm like, this is just wasting all my materials.
Yeah, because when you respawn in the chambers.
Yeah.
And it's like you didn't die. It's actually in-game is that, like, you kind of just come back in these chambers.
Yeah.
And so you've already wasted the bullets that you did have.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you keep coming back with less resources.
Yeah, and then you have to spend money to get more plasma juice because now you're low on bullets. So you have to, you could buy more bullets, but yeah. It's a whole economy system that, you know,
you can really dig yourself a hole.
Yeah.
You can really get into debt there.
Yeah. I think after a while, I just said fuck it and went around and killed all the splicers with just the crowbar or something and just, like, gathered materials and stuff and then just ignored the Big Daddy because I just couldn't kill him.
I think, do you have to, there's an ending specifically that's like the good ending where you free all of the little sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Tenenbaum, who's the lady who created the little sisters and then has a change of heart where she's like, oh no, please save them.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you freed all these little sisters, you now gave them lives or whatever. And I don't know if you have to get all of them to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you do.
But I did. I freed all the little sisters.
I did.
And Dr. Tenenbaum's like, you're a good guy. So yeah, that's that. I mean, obviously, it's a big enough part of the game that they literally put him on the cover, the Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. Now, I want to talk about the weird fucking people who live in Rapture. Because another really thing that a thing that I think makes this game so special is its cast.
Yeah.
Because you're as a player, very kind of, I mean, you get interesting later when you kind of figure out who you are, what the deal is.
Yeah.
But you're just a guy doing stuff.
Yeah, you're just a pair of hands, honestly.
Yeah, really. I mean, like really.
Yeah.
But so you have Atlas, who's this dude who is kind of leading you through the game. He's like, help me out. Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then very early on, you hear about Andrew Ryan, who is Ayn Rand, whatever. He created Rapture. He's a real shithead. And then my favorite part of the game, I'd say, like, definitively, is Sander Cohen. You remember this guy, the artsy fellow?
Not particularly.
All right, so he's this real artsy guy. He comes to Rapture to create. He's like their best musician, their best, like,
oh, is
actor.
He the splicer that's, like, playing music while you're trying to kill him and shit?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, yeah.
And he, it's kind of implied, like, very overtly that he, like, is with Andrew Ryan, kind of. Like, they're, like, a couple or whatever, or they were at some point. And he kind of, like, grows really insane, really paranoid after stuff starts to go down. And he starts to like see pain and death as an art form. And so you go into his area and he's kind of constantly in your ear with all this crazy shit. And you like see him fucking murder someone in like very weird ways. You have to like take pictures of all these like really, really grotesque splicers, like stuff and stuff like that. And then at the end of this part, you get to like choose whether or not you kill Sander Cohen.
Yeah.
And I can't, I know I killed him because I was like, fuck this guy. I don't want to deal with him anymore. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 bang, bang, bang. But he does come up later in the game if you don't. And so I don't really know what that deal is, but
I don't know either. Cause I'm pretty sure I killed him as well, because after you go through that whole scene, which is one of the coolest scenes in the game, because it's like a lot of flashing lights and you're like in this theater, I believe.
Yep.
And yeah, so it's like a really cool scene. It's in the area where you have to go and kill like a lot of these bosses kind of.
Yep.
And so I just remember, like, you go through all these grotesque scenes. I'm like, I'm not letting you live. Like, you're going to end up fucking me in the end. So, yeah, I put a bullet in his head.
Yeah, but it was so eerie. Mm. And, like, it's a very extended part because he kind of controls that whole area.
Yeah, that whole section is you go around and, like, there's different people that control sections.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't remember what the third one was, but I remember that one being really fun, and then the one in like the ice room was also like really fun.
I enjoyed the botanical gardens as well.
Oh yeah, I also like that one too, especially because that's where you get my favorite plasmid, which is the killer bees.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of a good transition into these plasmids, which are like they're like drugs that give you superpowers.
Yeah,
essentially.
They're all awesome though.
Yeah, so you can kind of, whatever, your hands shoot fire or bees.
Yeah, the first one you
ice.
Get is the lightning bolt, basically. And that one's super fun. And the way they basically teach you is what you could do with these plasmids is really good, too, because I remember, like, you get, like, the lightning one, and, like, you go up, and, like, there's a bunch of splicers in the water.
Yep.
And you're like, does this work? And you shoot the water, and, like, they all get electrocuted. And you're like, sweet. Plasmids can affect the environment to kill shit.
And in the in the kind of ice area, the fire one's really good for, like, just melting shit.
I think you have to use it to, like, get through some walls and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. So I was going to go through some of the other plasmids and just talk about them. Some of these, I felt like there were actually, like, too many plasmids. I understand it fits different play styles, but some of them I was like, I don't know why anyone would.
I definitely didn't use, like, half of them.
Because there's Cyclone Trap, which kind of just, like,
Yeah, the wind.
It's what it sounds like. It's a little spiral of wind. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I don't think
keeps
I ever
spicers
used that one.
In the air. Again, I didn't find it particularly useful. Electrobolt, I'd say
very
pretty
useful.
I
especially
always
had
for that big
one.
Daddies.
Yeah.
Because it works on them where you can, like, you know, stop them from moving and then you can fuck them up, fuck their life
up. Yeah, that one was always in my hot slot.
There's Enrage, which causes the target to attack anyone in the near vicinity. I thought that was like.
That one's fun just because it's funny, because of the shit you could do.
Yeah. Hypnotize Big Daddy, which was one of the most useful, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because there's a Big Daddy around. You just go, hey, buddy, yoink. You yoink him. You yoink his, you know. You,
God damn it.
You yoink him and you yeet him at all the other splicers.
Yeah. Yep. That's what you do.
Incinerate, which is, I would say, definitively the best plasmid. It's the most fun to use. It's just really fun to see things on fire.
It's a fun one. It's definitely gruesome because it leaves the body all charred, but I like the killer bees better.
And then there, insect swarm, which spawns a swarm of bees. I actually
that one's gruesome.
I didn't use that one very much, interestingly.
It's the least amount of damage, but it's good because it lingers in the air, and if like enemies are closer together, they'll go from one person to the other. And it's also a good one because it doesn't kill them right away. And so it draws the attention of other splicers to that person as they're screaming and trying to get these bugs off them.
Security bullseye, which is great for those security cameras that are pain
fucking
in the ass.
Camera turrets and shit.
Sonic boom, which basically just like is what it sounds like. It pushes characters
it's
back and stuff.
It's basically force push.
Yeah. Target dummy, which spawns a hologram that distracts any enemies, allowing the user to escape.
Yeah. I didn't,
not particularly useful.
I'd never escaping.
telekinesis, which again was a sick one.
That one, that one's fun. You pick up shit and throw it.
Cause some of the big daddies have like rocket launchers.
Yeah, and so you catch it, the rocket, and throw it back.
Nothing felt more badass than like catching a rocket and
especially just standing there and him shooting at you. Just put your hand out, catch it, and just turn around and throw it.
I felt like Darth Vader, dude.
Yeah, literally Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One, just cutting everyone down.
And then there's Winter Blast, which just kind of freezes.
Yeah, just
freezes
the
homies.
Yeah, that was okay.
It's fine. And then you have the other plasmids, the little sister antidote, but I wouldn't really count that because it's like a passive plasmid.
Yeah, you use it anytime you free little sister. So.
But I do want to talk about, because this game, you probably haven't played it very recently, but the mechanics do feel...
I did try to play it. So a little while ago, I built my PC, and I went on Steam, and the BioShock Collection was out on Steam for like $10.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm buying this collection. Gets a BioShock 1, 2, or yeah, 1, 2, and Infinite. And so, but I tried to play it, and apparently BioShock 1 is super bugged on PC. And so it was unplayable because, well, it wasn't unplayable. It was playable, but after a while, you just couldn't save and it would just crash your game.
Weird.
And I started over like 3 times because I'm like, I love this game so much that I don't care about playing the intro 3 times because it's a really good intro. But after a while, I'm like, after a point, I'm like, I just can't. And so then I started playing BioShock Infinite.
That's kind of interesting because if you bought the game for $10, presumably it had been out for quite a while, and you would...
They just never went back and fixed the collection on PC, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. I really wish it was work, because, God, it still looks really good, too.
Yeah, that's playing it on PS4
was awesome.
Oh, it
was the remastered collection, which is why it never worked. And so I tried the unmastered version, but it still had the save state issue. And so, but man, I played the remastered version. There's something about remastered versions where they fucking nail it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this looks like how I remember it. And then I went and switched to the original version because the remastered wasn't working. I'm like, this doesn't look like how I remember it.
I remember this being a lot prettier, huh?
Yeah.
I always, cause I'm not like particularly old. So I always wonder, like, you know, cause your imagination is a lot of the work playing like Final Fantasy 7 or something, and
yeah,
just looking at those fucking horrible polygons, and just be like, somehow your brain just be like, oh, that's a cool looking.
Oh, well, like Shadow of Colossus remastered came out, and I remember like seeing it, like, wow, this is how I remember this game looking.
Yeah.
This is beautiful, and I'm like, I want to play this game, so I booted up a PS2. I'm like, wow, this game looks like straight trash.
We are very.
God, I put so many hours into this game with it looking this bad.
We are very privileged people.
Yeah.
But really the gist of this game is that Ken Levine, I understand games are made by lots of people.
Yeah.
But BioShock is another one of those games that had like a head,
mm-hmm.
The Corey Barlog of BioShock.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, Ken Levine was like the OG, I feel like one of the OG, like,
yeah,
creative directors.
He was up there with like Hideo Kojima and,
yeah,
stuff like that.
So
still is.
What a god that guy is though, right?
Yeah. So, well, really weird. Like if you watch any press conferences and like interviews with him, he's kind of weird. Which I guess you kind of have to be to create Rapture and Columbus.
Yeah, he said, I remember watching an interview where he said the idea came from, like, a different book he was reading. But it really is, like, the whole game feels like this critique of, like, Atlas Shrugged. Like,
yeah,
like Iran's objectivism. Like, and it's pretty apparent. I wouldn't even say it's, like,
yeah,
subtext. It's
yeah,
like, very...
It's pretty obvious.
Even, like, the big statue, you know, when you kind of come down into the Rapture and you get into this big kind of like circular hallway thing,
mm-hmm,
and there's this big dude, and it like it really like looks like the character on the front of Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
So and I find that kind of interesting that, like, I don't know, that Ayn Rand's a divisive character, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say there are a lot of people who kind of fall on her side, the, like, you know, the libertarian types. And so it's interesting that so many people love this game, including, like, I know of people who kind of skew that way who love this game still.
Yeah. Well, it's a fictional world, so I guess there's that suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'm just saying it's such a, like, apparent, like, critique of the thing that they believe.
I don't know. Maybe they like the shooty and the killer.
Yeah,
killer.
Yeah, I do like the shooty. The game is about politics?
How did I miss that?
I was just doing the shooty.
Just doing the shooty shoot.
All right, Eric. One of the characters I had on my list but I didn't mention was Yi Suchong, who's like the doctor guy. He works with Fontaine to create Jack. We never actually really talked about that. Jack...
Yeah.
It's funny because Jack was born 2 years prior to the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this guy's a baby-ass baby.
Yeah.
And they basically just, like, genetically engineer him to, like, grow very fast. And they give him that trigger word of, would you kindly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, send him out. And they give him directions to get on this plane. Has a box with a gun. And to take over the plane and crash it. So
yeah,
that he can go into Rapture and, like, set everything abroad. Because he's, like, a part clone, part son of Andrew Ryan.
Yeah. Something like that. I can't It's something weird. It's
yeah,
convoluted.
Andrew Ryan, like, has an affair with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets found out, and they, like, yoink the woman. They take the fetus out, like, the embryo or whatever, and then they give it to Frank Fontaine and Yi Suk Chong, who somehow get this idea to, like, make a copy of Andrew Ryan.
Yeah.
Basically.
They yeet him on a plane.
Yeah, yeah, and they put him on a plane, and then this whole thing happens. And, yeah, the game happens. Before we wrap up, I'm curious to know, so you said you played part of, did you play Infinite, like, the entire game?
No, I got to the part where the big bird comes and yoinks Elizabeth and yeets you off the building.
God, we're going to just say that until it dies.
I don't ever say it until you say it, and then you said it twice. I'm like, okay, I have to say this now, too.
So, yeah, you should play more of Infinite, because I would like to do a podcast about it at some point, because that game...
Yeah, maybe I'll play it. We have break coming up, or during this podcast, so maybe I'll play it during that time, get back into it. I was just... because... I don't know. Columbus is such a different world than Rapture, but it does have one Troy Baker in it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
But Troy Baker's kind of just phoned it in, not even doing a voice. It's
really?
Just his voice.
Yeah, I guess. I wouldn't say he's phoned it in,
I mean, he's still giving a good performance, but it just kind of pulls me out of it when I hear, like, Troy Baker or Nolan North just not even doing, like, a different voice. Like, it's just their voice.
I have opinions about that game, though. I would say Bioshock, like I said, one of the best games ever made. Bioshock Infinite, more fun to play.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
I was playing it, I'm like, these plasmids, they're not called plasmids, but they're not as fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't really get that far. Because you get, at some point, you get the hook gun.
I have the hook gun.
And you still didn't think it was that fun? Come on, Eric.
I mean, I don't know. It might be more fun now, because I was playing it on PC when I first got PC, so I wasn't very good at mouse and keyboard yet. Now I'm substantially better, and so I probably could just play it much easier.
You're not pressing triangle to jump.
I forgot you had to press triangle to jump. Holy shit.
I think you could fix it in the remaster, but I was like, no, I'm gonna play
yeah,
it
you
the
could
way
fix it in the remaster.
I'm gonna play it the way that the developers made
yeah.
it. So I played it with the fucking triangle jump.
Yeah. I had that same principle too in the Uncharted remaster, whereas like you could play, or no, in Uncharted 4, not the remaster, you could play it with normal controls, which is L2 and R2 to shoot and aim.
You played with the bumpers,
I
you
played
hooligan?
With L1 and R, because I'm like, that's how you play Uncharted, is
no,
the front bumpers.
The only reason they ever did that is because the PS3
had
horrible
bumpers.
Horrible
or, yeah,
triggers.
No bumpers. Yeah, the PS3 controller, man, that thing was a piece of trash. Much improved with the DualShock.
One more segment. It's a new one.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I want to rename a game before the end of this podcast.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of games. Great games, I'd say. Bad
Terrible
names.
Babes.
We're going to call the podcast Great Games, Bad Names.
All right. The podcast segment?
Oh, yeah. It's
names.
Podcast and then a podcast.
Yeah, we're not renaming the podcast.
Great Games, Bad Names. This one, I would say, not a bad name. It just sounds generic. Horizon Zero Dawn. That sounds... like they kind of went into a video game name generator,
yeah,
and then they
generated
made it,
three words,
and then they like put it into the game, because it actually, I mean, it makes sense into the context
in
of
the
game.
Context of the game, because it was like the Horizon Initiative, and then Zero Dawn was when the world went to shit and stuff.
Yeah, that's another game we will do a podcast
yeah,
about.
Yeah, very.
But I want to rename the game.
I want to replay that game too before we do it
for sure.
And I want to play the DLC.
So I have one in mind, but give me a better name for Horizon Zero Dawn.
So I was thinking, like, because you have to kill, like, robots and shit in the game, and I might be stealing yours. I can't honestly remember
Eric,
what was
if you
was
do it,
was.
I'm going to be pissed off.
But what was the one guy that helps you, too? God, I can't remember his name.
No, I can't remember his
now
name.
Now I just kind of want to talk about Horizon, because now I'm recollecting on that game. Man, that's a good game. Anyway, it was just going to be Robot Dinosaurs, the Jurassic Park sequel.
Robo Dino Park.
Yeah.
My name is Ginger Dino Murderer.
Yeah, that was good too.
Because Aloy, I'd say a ginger icon.
Yeah.
She's really.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Awesome badass character too.
Oh, yeah.
One
great.
Of the best characters originally.
And she's
character.
Out here killing robo dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're like, oh, they're not dinosaurs, but they're very clearly dinosaurs.
Mm.
So, yeah. So I'm calling this Robo Dino Killer. Extreme XXX.
Oh, there you go. Throw in the XXX. To really signify that it's extreme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's an extreme game for extreme people.
Yeah. Only extreme people get to play it. You have to be Vin Diesel to play this game.
And you have to be a ginger.
Oh, well, I already dropped the ball on that one.
We'll talk about it later. All right, Eric?
Because I have a superior hair color.
Fuck off. All right.
Man, I have a lot of games to play this break now. Now that I'm thinking about it. Will I actually get to play any of these games? Probably not.
You better, because you have to play.
Uncharted 2 and 3 I will definitely play. I'll probably play the first one, too, and probably try to platinum the fourth one, finally, get my last two trophies.
Just as a sneak peek for our listeners, after break, so in the January...
In the January
area,
time frame.
We will be doing a hard-hitting podcast about why Uncharted 2 is better than 3.
Why Uncharted 3 is better than 2.
It's basically Eric and I arguing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be great. We're both going to play both the games over break. And
we're
going
to come up with
it.
A format, too. We might have a moderator also, because I kind of want this to be structured argument.
Yeah, yeah.
As to why I could kick your ass because Uncharted 3 is better than 2. Yeah, Bryce will moderate.
Okay. Everyone, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you for listening. Eric, thanks for being a great co-host on the show. I had something else written and I forgot to change it, so I'm ad-libbing.
Oh, that's kind of a lame ad-lib, but whatever. I feel like he could have done better there. You've been hosted 13 of these episodes, and that's what you could come up for.
I panicked a little bit. Everyone, tune in next week when Ayn Rand comes back from the dead to argue with Ken Levine about socialism on our podcast. Anyways, we love you. Unless you suck, then we don't. And you should probably work on that. Have a good one.